T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network and Compass Media. Brian, how the hey are you?
I'm doing quite well, Steve. It's nice to be with you again.
Nice to be, of course, with you for a couple of minutes, Brian, for sure. Any surprises today? Nothing with the Giants. Are you surprised about that? And nothing with the Jets. Are you surprised about that?
Not really. I mean, I don't know what players that another team could pry. I mean, normally if you're a team in the hunt and in contention, you're trying to pry good players from bad teams or teams that are having bad seasons. I'm not so sure which players on either team a team would try to pry away from.
Well, here the rumor was, and let me just interject, rumor was with the Giants that Janoris Jenkins, Olivier Vernon might be on the block after, of course, Eli Apple earlier, and Snacks Harrison earlier were dealt to other teams.
True.
So everyone thought, okay, the purge is on with the New York Football Giants. The fire sale has begun, and then nothing happened by 4 o'clock today.
Well, you know, the two players you just mentioned, Janoris Jenkins and Olivier Vernon, I mean, they've got big contracts. And there's a lot of money owed. And I don't know what all the details are, Steve. I don't pretend to understand, cap space and cap hit and value and all that kind of – I don't know all that stuff. But I know that, you know, 2 years ago when they signed some of the biggest free agent contracts ever. Olivier Vernon was, I think, the highest paid player that season. So I know there's a lot of money out there, and so that always comes into play, either unloading a contract or trying to take a contract on.
Although I do think Jenkins was more cost-effective. But all right, let's pass on that. The Giants didn't do anything, and neither did the Jets. But a former Jet for 10 minutes was Terrell Pryor, who ends up signing with the Bills. There had to be something to this, because what is mystifying to me, to some degree, is that Pryor was hurt, and so they cut him. And then the word was, the rumorizing, Brian, was that he would be re-signed by the Jets to give Sam Darnold a little bit more experience with the wide receiver. But he signs with Buffalo. Now, let me guess, from what you know, was he unhappy being a Jet and let everybody know about it? And we were being fed, okay, they may re-sign him, but maybe Terrell Pryor didn't want to be a Jet. Have you heard anything along those lines?
Well, I did the Jets game in Chicago on Sunday, and you know we looked at how thin they were at wide receiver, you know, down in Nunwa and Robbie Anderson, and you know, and Pryor being released, and I was under the impression that it was just, you know, in order to fill a roster spot, you know, and not take it up with an injured player. Once he got healthy, he'd be back, but. You know, I mean, if you're going to release a player, I mean, he is, unless you make some sort of under the table, not necessarily even under the table, if you make some sort of an agreement that we're bringing you back, most players would probably pretty much honor that, unless they were so upset that they were released. But if you're hurt, you're not playing anyway. So I'm not really sure. The Bills need really a lot of help. This is Pryor's probably 15 right now in 3 years. So he's on the circuit right now, but I thought he was pretty good, to be honest with you, with the Jets. I thought he was a good weapon. Had a couple touchdown catches with Sam Darnold, and he looked like he was a pretty valuable piece when he was out there.
Well, the Bills really could use him. I mean, they don't really have anyone who could catch the ball, Brian.
Well, they don't have anybody with any speed, you know, and so, they need a guy that has real speed, and they just need, they need to upgrade every single position from the quarterback to the offense, I mean, throughout the roster on offense. I mean, they're just lacking at every single position on that side of the ball.
All right, on Sunday, the Rams with a field goal take that 2-point lead on the Green Bay Packers. Here's your kickoff, and here comes Ty Montgomery. Oops! What happened here? He got cut.
He got traded. But
was it because of that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know all the things that went into it. I mean, he's, you know, he had 10 kickoff returns this year. He was a yard and a half deep. I mean, it's right within his right to be the kickoff returner to bring it out. Now, nobody goes out there with any intention of fumbling. It's the only fumble he had, only fumble loss he had all year. I understand that there was other things possibly that were being said or thought about on the sideline. I don't know if they entered or not, but, you know, most guys in that situation are trying to make a play, and he's been a good player for him for a long time in a lot of positions. I mean, he sacrificed being a returner to go, you know, and a receiver to go be a running back for him and help out any way that he could. I thought from the surface he looked like he was a team player.
All right, let me run down. Give me in 25 words or less your take on the moves that were made before 4 o'clock. Denver trading Demaryius Thomas, and certainly no surprise there. He goes to Houston. Your take on that?
Well, I mean, Will Fuller got hurt last Thursday night, so you need a receiver. Kiki Kuti, who was a guy that young rookie, he's been banged up. And I think Denver's very happy with Courtland Sutton, their second-round pick at SMU. So I think it benefits both teams right now.
And Thomas's first game will be with the Texans will be against who?
Yeah, well, it could be that team in New York, I think.
All right, Detroit. Golden Tate on the move again. He goes to Philadelphia. Brian's take is?
Well, it's a great trade for Philadelphia. I mean, Golden Tate is everything you want in a wide receiver. He can beat man coverage. He is completely fearless. He's tough as can be. He was the Lions' leading receiver, which I don't understand. They're 3-4. They're a game out of first place. I'm not sure why you trade Golden Tate for a third-round pick, but I know this. The Eagles got better today with that pick.
All right. The Jaguars, they traded to the Rams. Mm-hmm. The rich get richer and the poor have children. The Jaguars trading Dante Fowler to Hollywood. Brian's take is?
Well, I think they really are looking for some edge, you know, a guy that can really rush off the edge. I mean, I think they're very happy. Obviously, Aaron Donald looks like he's going to be the defensive MVP of this league again. And Dominican Sue has played well. And they played Sue at some end, but they just need a guy that can come off the edge and really help out. With those two guys in the middle, they just need somebody that can turn the corner. And Fowler was, he wasn't out of favor, but Yannick Ngakoue beat him out, and they're playing this Taven Bryan and, you know, Calais Campbell. I mean, they have a lot of other guys that can play that position.
Right. All right. And, of course, Brandon Marshall released by the Seahawks. Not a big deal there. He's 100 years old. The Redskins are trading a fourth rounder to Green Bay for Clinton Dix. And your take is?
Well, I don't understand what Green Bay's doing, to be honest with you, Steve. I mean, this guy played every single snap for the Green Bay Packers this year. I was just watching him against the Rams last week. I mean, he made four open field tackles and got the receivers down off their feet, made a play right at the goal line, kept Todd Gurley out of the end zone one-on-one. I know this. Teams don't have enough good safeties as it is. I mean, everybody's looking for them. You can't stock enough safeties in this business. They're hard to keep healthy, and guys that can tackle are at a premium.
Yeah. All right. Are you surprised the Giants? Well, I think I know the answer to this. I was going to ask you if you think the Giants at 1-7 is surprising. It is to Giants fans, that is for sure. Is Eli Manning done?
Well, I mean, he's not done, Steve, but this is a young man's game, and reaction time is important, and he's back there just getting clobbered. Look, I've said this week, Steve, I don't think there's another quarterback in the league that could play quarterback for the Giants but Eli. I mean, he's the only guy tough enough to be able to do it. You know, I mean, there's every quarterback gets shaken and shook when they're just clobbered the way he is. I mean, he dropped back last week. He got hit 10 times, sacked 7 more times. I mean, he doesn't know where it's coming from and when it's coming. And so, you know, the red zone interception that Swearinger took from Odell, I mean, it was a bad throw. He had a good, clean pocket, but I can't blame a lot of this on Eli. I thought this, Steve. I respect Eli and his brother and the family as much as anybody that's ever watched, covered, played this game. But if you bring in a new coach and a new general manager and the quarterback is giving you the 15 best years you could possibly want representing the organization, why wouldn't you just turn the page at that point, especially if this Sam Darnold was waiting right there? I just talked to Tony Romo on Sunday at the game, and Tony Romo said, quote, unquote, I think Sam Darnold is going to be the best quarterback in the league. when Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees move on. Like, he thinks he's going to be that good. And the Giants could have been building around him right now.
What do you think about Darnold?
I love Sam Darnold. I love him. I love the fact that he's on. He knows he's not on a very good team, but nothing really ever ruffles that guy. He's got incredible ability to escape the pocket and get rid of the football, and he's trying to make all these. He goes through his progressions the way you're supposed to. He rides in the morning with Josh McCown. He's there all day. He's a complete pro at age 21. I think the future is rosy.
See, a lot of us think, and we're talking, of course, with a very familiar voice, if you watch the NFL Network, who doesn't, and also with the Compass Media, and if you listen to The Fan, you know from Brian Baldinger. A lot of us think that Todd Bowles is not the guy to be coaching Sam Darnold or anything that is offense. He is a defensive-minded coach. He looks clueless on the sidelines. He makes a lot of awful in-game decisions. What is your take on Todd Bowles?
Well, look, I mean, the record is that they're 3-5 for the third year in a row. You know, I mean, they're not getting it done. And you can point to a lot of different things. But it's this is all about production in this business. And he's not producing right now. I mean, there was a time when Dave Campbell was 5-11 three straight years in a row, and Bill Parcells went down there. And in the very next year, with almost the same roster, had him in the playoffs. I mean, coaching is the difference in this business. And you can point to a lot of different things, the injuries and all that kind of stuff, but eventually you have to find ways to win games.
You're talking about, every Jet fan sees how awful it is. And Emily, you're right. I mean, 3-5, 3 years in a row, they do have a quarterback. And yes, it's worth being patient as he goes about evolving and developing and the growing pains that go along with it. And growing pains, certainly nothing new to a Jet fan. But Todd Bowles, I mean, you on the sidelines, I mean, the body language is like, what is happening? I'm not so sure. And makes a lot of in-game decisions that, to say the least, Brian, very, very questionable. Do you think the Jets, to aid and abet the development of a Sam Darnold, will make any kind of a move in the offseason if this season turns out to be another 5-11 with the New York Jets regarding Todd Bowles? Do you think they would make a change?
Yeah, I think they would. I mean, but you don't make a change just to make a change. I mean, look, the Rams made a change 2 years ago, and obviously they found the right guy in Sean McVay. I mean, the team was dreadful the year before, and everybody thought Jared Goff was a bust, and now it's must-see TV. I mean, the difference in this whole business has always been coaching, and there's never enough good quarterbacks, and there's never enough good head coaches. But you got to find the right guy. But I believe Sam Darnold, you know, he needs a special guy to really put an offense around his strengths. And, you know, I mean, obviously that Ram offense is dynamite. And in 1 year, they got themselves a left tackle, and they fixed the running back, who did not have a good year in his second season. They fixed the running back, and, you know, the passing game is second to none, and he can coach Ndamukong Suh, and he can coach these guys that everybody said was going to be a headache. They're not a headache for this guy. He just speaks with a loud, clear voice, and he cuts through the whole organization. And you spend 5 minutes with this guy, and you know he's born to be a head coach.
And Adrian, much as Adrian Peterson at the age of 33 is born to be a running back, he ran 64 yards right through the Giants' defense. He's 33 years old, Brian.
He's also extremely determined. I mean, you listen to him talk, Steve. He wants to break Emmitt Smith's record. I mean, he needs, I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 yards for the next 4 years. He's got to run until he's almost 40. But that's how he thinks. And when he just outran the entire secondary in that fourth quarter in that run. And, you know, I mean, he still has elite speed. He said, he said it's been a long time since he ran a 50 yards for a touchdown. It used to be pretty common. But you watch him week in, week out, the Redskins would not be in first place in the NFC East without Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's getting most of the carries every weekend right now, and he's responding.
By the way, speaking about another team from the NFC East, and before I let you go, I have to ask you a very important question, because none of us know what it is. And you are very learned, you are very insightful, you are very analytical, and you know more than less about the NFL.
Okay.
You have to explain to us what a snap infraction is.
Well, I guess that's when, you know, the long snapper adjusts the ball a little too...
What?
Yeah, exactly. I there's terms in that now. See, I've been around this thing a long time. I hear these terms myself, and I shake my head. And I go, what league is this? What sport is it? Is it Australian rules football? Because I hear some of these things for the first time myself, and I kind of scratch my head.
Brian, you're the best, and I can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. It always goes by very, very fast. I hope it's soon when we get a chance to talk again.
It's always a pleasure, Steve. You bet, man. Thank you.
You got it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.